go back to Luke 24. Love this story. Love the gospel, don't you? Again, we're looking at it again. So did these disciples again. He told them again and again and again the same thing. To write the same thing, to preach the same thing to you, it's not grievous to me. This is life, words of life. These two disciples, verse 13, two of them, they were disciples, believers, one named Cleopas. They were walking together to a village called Emmaus, a little small town from Jerusalem, about 7 miles. 7 miles, 8 miles. They were walking together. And they were talking. They were walking and talking together about these things. You know, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? These two disciples were together. The other disciples were together, weren't they? Walking and talking. Who do you walk with? Who do you talk with? Who are your companions? David said, I'm a companion of them that fear thee. That's who I walk with. That's who I talk with. They were walking, they were talking of these things. In Deuteronomy, Moses wrote to the children of Israel. He said, God had him write these things. He said, these words I command thee, these words shall be in thine heart. He said, teach them diligently unto thy children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and rise up. And he went on in Deuteronomy 32 to say, these are not vain words. These are your life. To walk and talk with those whom you can have true communion, fellowship with, God's people. They were together. They were together, two of them. What did our Lord say about two or three gathered together? What did he say? He cannot lie. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I. So they were talking. They were walking along. And it says in verse 15, while they communed together, he himself, the Lord Jesus himself, drew near and went with them. Is he here this morning? Well, I hope there are two or three in here this morning from their hearts. It won't be everybody, but I hope there's at least two or three here gathered in his name who really want to hear him and see his glory. Because if there are two or three here, he is here. He is here. Though hidden, he was hidden from their eyes. They couldn't see him. He was there. He was there in the form of a preacher. They thought all this time that he was preaching them, they just thought he was a preacher. But they were hearing from the Lord, weren't they? And they, in the end, they begged that preacher. They besought that preacher, abide with us, stay, don't leave. Oh, don't let the gospel leave this place. Well, they were communing together and they were sad. Look at verse 17. Our Lord said, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you communing? What are you talking about that's making you sad? They were sad. Now, our Lord said they would be. Go back to John 16. Forward to John 16. This is what he said to them before this, before he was taken, delivered, and crucified, and buried. John 16, you have it? He told them this before he went to the cross. He's told us this over and over again. Look at verse 16. He said, a little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And some of the disciples among themselves said, what is this? He said, a little while you shall not see me. What do you mean, fellas? He'd been telling them from the beginning, from the day that he chose them, he'd been telling them the same thing. Who he was, why he came, what he was come to do, what he was going to do, where he was going to go, and then he's going to come back. Same thing. Right? You've read it. Nod your head. Yes. That's why he came. This is why he came. Not to make their life pleasant, but to save their souls from sin. And there's one way that he could do that. By being crucified. That's why he came. Now they were sad. Look at verse, when he was going away, verse 18. They said, what is this? We cannot tell. A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament. And so shall we. In this world of tribulation, sorrow, weeping will endure for a night. My brothers and sisters, we're here early in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. How? Where's joy come from? A reigning, ruling, risen Lord. And remembering and having brought to our remembrance all things that he said, these exceeding precious promises he told us again and again and again, that our joy might be full. Read on. Verse 20. He said, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. A woman, and he gave this illustration, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow. Because her hour has come, and as soon as she's delivered of the child, remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you ever again. So back to our text. So they were sad, and they didn't see him. It was John Newton that wrote the hymn, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. When the Lord Jesus no longer I see. Sweet birds, sweet prospects, sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. And sorrow, sadness, troubles in this world. We lose sight of our Lord living, sun shining in the darkness. And you know what causes us our greatest grief and sadness and trouble and sorrow. You know what it is? Unbelief. Unbelief. They were troubled. They were sad as they were walking and talking. And down in verse 37, when he did appear to them again, it says they were terrified, frightened, scared to death. Suppose they'd seen a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Meaning, why are you thinking the worst? Why are you imagining things? Who and what are you afraid of? I'm here. It is I. Everything they went through, he did it. Every storm, every trouble, everything he sent them, every sorrow, every sadness, he sent it. Why? For their good. For their good. They forgot that. Why? How's that good? How's trouble? Because if we didn't have trouble, we'd want to stay here. He kept telling them, I'm not of this world. I didn't come to stay here. I came to do a work for you, and I'm leaving, going back to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, receive you again unto myself. And you're not of this world. And I'm going to send you through nothing but tribulation. Tribulation and trouble mingle with some happiness, but mostly trouble. Why? Because this is not where you're staying. We'll stir up the nest, put thorns in the nest so that you little fledglings will fly away. So they were sad and troubled, and they communed together. They were full of unbelief. Look at verse 21. Here's what they said. They said, verse 18, this is amazing. Are you a stranger in Jerusalem and you don't know these things? Who's talking like they're a stranger? Who's the one talking like they were a stranger to the covenant? How about us? Do we ever talk like we hadn't heard a thing the Lord has told us? Isn't all our fears and worries and trouble just unbelief? Isn't it? After all the Lord has promised us, exceeding precious promises. Are you a stranger? No, you have forgotten. You're the ones, oh foolish disciples. You're the ones that have forgotten what he said. And our unbelief is what gives us so much confusion and so much trouble and such lack of peace and joy and comfort. Our unbelief, because we've let his words slip. We've forgotten what he said. We've forgotten. Our troubled thoughts and confusion mostly due to forgetting his word, his truth. The world is in darkness and bitterness and anguish of spirit. God's people should not be. Right? Paul said, in everything give thanks. He said, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Where was he when he wrote that? In prison. Why? Who put him there? God did. He realized that. The world's in darkness and anguish and dimness and troubled. Have no peace. Our Lord said there won't be. They won't have any peace. No peace. But he kept telling his disciples over and over and over again, fear not. Fear not. He appeared to them three times after he arose, and every time he said, peace be unto you. Peace. I came. He came, Brother John, he came to make peace. The world, these false prophets are telling people all over the world whom God is angry with, under the wrath of God. They're telling them, God's not angry with you. Yes, he is, too. That's why everything's happening is happening. Yes, he is, too. But to God's people, I can tell you, God is not angry with you. God has peace with you. How? Why? You know why, don't you? You know why, don't you? You know why, don't you? Why? Because you made your peace with God? Oh, no. That Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. And everybody believes that, believes him, that he is our peace. Smile. God loves you. And everything that happens, he sent it in love, in mercy, in grace, and for your good. You're going to see real soon, and your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And you're going to say, why did I ever doubt him? How could I? I'm such a fool. Such a fool. How can true disciples get in such a way? How could they? After all he said. Talking sad things, aren't we? They said, look at this unbelief in their language. He said, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They never called him that. They never called him that in person. They called him Lord. Right?
Yes.
And he's a prophet. Prophet? They knew him more than that. And mighty indeed in word. Mighty? He told them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I'm your Lord. The chief priests and our rulers delivered him. The priests delivered him. God delivered him. You see, they had forgotten that and this was the worst thing that they thought could possibly happen. These were the darkest days of their life. These 3 days when our Lord seemed to be dead. They thought, look what's happened to him. They were sad and troubled because of what men had done to Jesus. They should have been praising God, believing, just waiting on Him to rise. He told them, look what great things God hath done. And we're just waiting to see it accomplished. It's going to. He said so. That's what they should have thought. But no, they're all sad and troubled because look what's going on. Oh no, look what men are doing. Are you with me? Look what's happening. Yes, look what's happening. God's doing it. And you just wait, you'll see. Sun's about to rise. Healing is way. And as certain poor women came and tried to tell him, he's risen. They didn't believe that. And our Lord, through what they thought was a preacher, said in verse 25, O fools, slow to heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. O fools. Now, we should never call our brother or our sister a fool. But I tell you what, you need to think of yourself as a fool. Yes, you do. Yes, we do. When we act and talk and walk and speak like we've never heard a word of God's truth, worried and fearful and untrusting and doubtful and just full of thoughts arise in our head, and we forget completely God is doing everything that's being done, that Christ came for a purpose to fulfill it, and we're in Him, and everything about us has been purposed by Him, ordered and sure, and it's all being accomplished for our good. He said that. How many times does He have to tell us, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, called according to prayer? How many times do we have to hear that? And now we forget so soon, don't we? You're full of doubts and fear, and I'm hollering at myself. Simon Peter was. Simon Peter, rock. Simon Peter, James, John, Thomas, Matthew, all of them were full of doubts and fear. All of them, weren't they? And so are we, every one of us. What's wrong with us? We're so foolish. We're so fickle. Finite in our understanding. Aren't we? Slow of heart to believe. See what the heart man believes. You know these things in our head. The Lord has to put them in our heart. Slow to heart to believe. We believe. We're quicker by nature to believe what men say than God. And I hate it. Don't you hate it? You know what they said? No, what? Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, no. So what are you talking about? Who are you walking with? Who are you talking to? What are you talking about? Is it sad things? Are you with me? Who are you listening to? Turn them off. Don't talk about what sad things men are doing. Talk about what great things God hath done and is doing and yet shall do. Talk about the fact that He's coming real soon. You're going to see Him. Every eye is going to see. Let's talk about that. That won't make us sad. Make us glad. He still called them fools. The Lord can call us fools because that's what we are. Slow of heart. David, remember Psalm 73? That's why these psalms are so precious to us. David says, I've cleansed my hands in vain. I've walked out my religions in vain. He said, the world has no troubles and people have all that their eyes stand out with fatness and God's people have got nothing but trouble. And he said, the waters of full cup are wrung out to God's people while the world have everything in the world. And he said, is it all in vain? And he said, until I went into the sanctuary. And Nathan got up. An angel spoke to him. Nathan. And you know what David said? Oh, I was worse than a beast. He said, Oh, how foolish I was. He said, I'm with him. He said, I'm ever with him. The world's got the world. What do they get? What's coming to the world? That's what Abraham says. So Abraham was the first father of the faithful. And Abraham said, Lord, look, Lot's got Sodom. Lot got Sodom. Abraham said, what do I get? Saved from Sodom. That's what? And he said, you don't get a what. You get me. I'm thy great reward. You're going to be with me. I'm going to be with you. And someday when all this trouble's over, you're going to be with me forever. Smile, Abraham. You don't need Sodom. Ain't nothing but sin, trouble, sorrow. In this world, our Lord said, there's nothing but lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. And it's all is in the world, this present evil place. That's what the scripture said. God sends trouble to deliver us from it. And he sent Christ to deliver us from it. They said in their unbelief, we trusted that it had been he to redeem Israel. So they're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. There are myriads of people that call themselves Christians that still think Jesus, a man, is going to come back to Jerusalem, that dirty, filthy, vile place, and build some kind of building and sit in it. How foolish can you get? We trusted it had been heeded to redeem Israel, to restore the kingdom to Israel, that we, to get us out of all these worldly troubles and have a kingdom like Solomon. Everybody's at peace and everything's good. No, our Lord kept saying, this, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not here. I didn't come to make you happy in this world. I didn't come to make everything just hunky-dory in this world. I came to deliver you from it. I came to deliver you from sin, to bring you out. God said to people in Egypt, he said, I'd come down to bring you out, to bring you up. Where? Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. We had trusted he had redeemed Israel. He did. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but inwardly. Israel, true Israel, all Israel shall be saved. David said in Psalm 130, the last verse of Psalm 130, he said, redeem Israel out of all his iniquities, out of all his trouble. He did. The Redeemer came. He redeemed them. How? By his own precious blood. He redeemed their souls. Save their soul. Their bodies are going to be full of sickness and suffering and trouble and anguish. But God saved their soul through Christ crucified and given them a new heaven and a new earth. Think on these things. And he went on to say, ought not Christ, verse 26, to have suffered these things and enter him into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. Then down in verse 44, you know, something I noticed, Helen, you'll like this. In verse 44, look at it. He said unto them when he appeared to them, they finally knew it was him. He said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. And all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. These are the words that I spake, the words. Right across the page, how does John 1 begin? In the beginning was the Word. Did anybody catch that? These are the words. This is what the Word is. This is what the book's all about. This is what heaven, earth, universe, sun, moon, stars, trees, sky, every type, symbol, shadow, picture, emblem, everything, every event, every person, everything that's ever been in the history of the world points to Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen, reigned in the room, everything. It's all about Him. God made time for Him to dwell in it. Do you understand? And beginning today, we're going, and Wednesday, and from here on out, however long it takes, we're going to begin in the books of Moses. And we'll go through to Malachi. And we're going to look at these things again, okay? Somebody requested that. And oh, may our hearts burn within us. See, He showed them how He's the beginning. And in the end, He said, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Everything in between, it is I. He's the light, He's the word, He's the woman's seed. On and on it goes. He's Joseph, whom the Lord gave everything to the hands of. He's the tabernacle, He's the lamb slain. He's the atonement, He's the Passover lamb. He's the smitten rock, He's the brazen serpent. He's the bread. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. He's Joshua. He's Moses. He's Gideon. Keep going all the way through here. He's Zerubbabel. Name something. Name somebody. It's Him. It's all about Him. Do you see that? And He was preaching these things for however long. I believe their walk, I believe they slowed down. They were walking like walking to Pharaoh. How long would it take you to walk to Pharaoh? Well, a couple of hours anyway. Okay? And he's talking, he's preaching to them. And don't you know, they stop. Just enwrapped. It might have taken them 6 hours to get there. But they were just enwrapped. And he made as though, he's not leaving them. He's never going to leave them. He said so. I'll never leave you. That's why He came for them. How? What? How do you know? He revealed these things, Him, to them. And once again, He showed them the same things, John. And they thought He was a preacher. He said, stay, stop, wait, come in, sit. Let's have supper. Keep talking. And He did. And He broke that bread. Bless God. The last time they saw Him, He was breaking bread and drinking wine with them. And once again, they see Him again. They hear His voice again. How? Why? Breaking bread. Didn't He say, I'm the bread? Man doesn't live by it, but the Word of God. You know how you're going to have Christ revealed to you? Right here. You know how you're going to get peace and joy? Right here. You know with whom you're going to have peace and joy? Right here with Him, with His disciples, in breaking this bread to you. Otherwise, you're going to have confusion of faces, trouble, anguish, dimness, darkness, no peace. Thomas and the rest of them were together, yes, but they weren't hearing Him. They're full of doubts and fears. Bless God, He came back to them. Oh, our Lord, we're going to look at this. Are you excited? We're going to look at the scarlet line, the window again. You know He preached that. He said, Rahab. He said to them, do you think that a line in that woman's window saved her? That's the blood of Christ that hung on that cross. And I love, again, it says down in verse 36, He stood in the midst of them, said, peace unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And He said those words again, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? And we do, don't we? We do. We think it's this, it's that, it's everything else. Look what's happening. Brothers and sisters, for your own peace, for your own comfort, for God's glory and honor, trust the Lord. You know what? He is your shield. He really is. Our verse for tomorrow morning, Brother Steve, you read it in Psalm 56. He said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust the Lord. He said, in God will I trust. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's tomorrow's verse. Oh, if we had that right here. Write that on the tables of my heart. My living Lord is right now seated on the right hand of glory. He's reigning in the room. He's looking and watching over this little assembly, this little sea of Galilee where his little weak women meet. And he did it all. He's done it all for his glory and for our good. It's all good. We're about to see. We're about to see it all completely unfold, just like they did. Completely. And they said, and when he left, he's coming back. They said, didn't our hearts burn? Can you believe that, John? She said, John, did you hear what he said? Wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that wonderful? Well, I hope you come back. Oh, he will. You get together again, he'll be there. And he did. And he did. And he does. And he will. And he shall. Till he comes, all of us. That'd be wonderful. Okay. Brother John, you come.